Hey folks, this is Kevin. On this week's episode of Risk, you'll hear me.
Pickles are kind of shaped like poop.
That and more. But first, are you in Bangkok? Do you know anyone who lives around there? Do you know anyone who's thinking of moving to Thailand? Reach out to me at kevin@risk-show.com because I want to meet people in Thailand. I want to get stories from people there, learn about Thai culture from people there, hopefully even do Risk live shows there. I've realized it's kind of unique to have a podcast based in America, but hosted by a guy living in Southeast Asia. I'm taking the biggest risk of my life ever to try it out. So again, never hesitate to have someone you know who is in Thailand or going over there or anything like that, reach out to me to say hi at kevin@risk-show.com.
We'll be right back.
Now here's the show. Hello, folks. This is Risk, the show where people tell true stories they never thought they'd dare to share. I'm Kevin Allison. This is Spoke Behind Me Now, and we're calling this week's episode Shit Happens. Stories about wastefulness, evacuations, and nature calling. Now, folks, the next few weeks of Risk episodes will feature guest hosts. Members of the Risk staff will be sitting in for me while I vacate my New York apartment, fly to Bangkok, and begin searching for a condo to be renting there. And once I'm in there, I can start hosting episodes myself again. And this episode is coming out on September 16th, 2025, which means there's still plenty of time to get tickets for the New York Risk Live show at Caveat on September 25th. Our storytellers Shem, Star Stone, and Ezra Homeland, and my better half, in terms of running Risk, JC Cassis, will be hosting that night. JC has been on a real roll lately, hosting and performing in the Electric Moon Cabaret and Burlesque show downtown, so it'll be fun to have her host a Risk live show also. And you could tell a 5-minute story on the theme, And Then It Got Weird. We'll have some audience members jumping in to share short stories that night too. So again, it's September 25th and tickets are at risk-show.com/live. Now in a little bit, we're going to hear from Rachel Frost and Luke Euler, but first, a story from me at the previous Risk Live show at Caveat in New York City. I can't wait to share this one with my family, by the way, for reasons that you'll soon find out. But if any of them have any problems with it, smacking me upside the head probably won't be much of an option, because by the time they hear it, I'll probably be overseas. So, without further ado, here I am with a story we call The Pickles Pickle. So this is about how, when I was a kid, I had not been diagnosed with ADHD. I didn't know that was a thing, right? And my family didn't either. But my family did know that I had this habit of doing or saying things that would cause one or two or whatever members of my family to say, Kevin, what the hell could you possibly have been thinking?
And I would have a hard time explaining what the hell I could have possibly been thinking when I did this or that. And there's one particular incident that my family sees as the archetypal moment of that, that they remind me of every Christmas or every time I go home to Ohio. And this is the story of how that happened. So in 1988, I was 18 years old, and my parents couldn't afford to get me into the dorms at NYU. So instead, they suggested, oh my gosh, we could save a lot of money if we sent you to live in this little cruddy tenement apartment, this hole-in-the-wall apartment that your older brother, who's about 6 years older than you, is living in near Coney Island, his little drunken bachelor pad, which was mostly decorated with beer cans, and you could live there while you're going to NYU. And so I was a little daunted. You know, my brother Dave is a sweetheart. He went into a program and he was making amends, and he called me and was like, Kev, I just wanted to make amends with you. Is there anything I should make amends with you about? I was like, I don't think so, Dave. We've always gotten along great. He was like, okay, great, great, great. So, yes, to explain that, yes, it was an apartment that was mostly decorated with beer cans. And I remember Dave used to say, I mean, we couldn't afford much food. And he would say, this Guinness that we're drinking all the time, there's probably more nutrients in this than anything we could afford anyway. And there was no Google, so we couldn't really fact check. And we're too drunk to go to the library or anything. So we just went with that. Now, I'll tell you, it was exciting being in New York City, but also daunting. I was his little gay brother who was only 18 years old, and he was, you know, in his mid-20s, and he was trying to get it on with the ladies and everything, and I was just like, I don't want to be in his way, you know? And he gave me this speech when I arrived. He was like, no, I don't buy groceries often, Kev. But when I do, you gotta ask me about anything I put in that fridge if you can have some of it. And one day he came home with a bag of stuff, and I opened the fridge. I was all excited to see what I might get away with. And there was this giant jar, like a gallon jar of jumbo whole pickles. And that was about the only interesting thing in there. And I just thought, oh, okay, I guess Dave has a thing for giant jumbo whole pickles. All right. And so it wasn't very exciting, and I closed the door and just went along my way. I was too preoccupied with beginning film school at NYU. Now, that was even more daunting because everyone at school was from Paris or London or wherever, like rich kids mostly, right, who had something to prove to one another about how creative they were. And I was just this kid from Ohio who was there on a bunch of scholarships, and I was just really nervous about proving that I could be funny and creative. So the first class that you could take in 1988 at film school at NYU was called Motion, Matter, and Meaning, and it was, they had a rule, and it was a rule that was clearly just bullshit, was just clearly NYU being cheap, that freshmen could not yet use 16 or 35 millimeter film. We were not ready for big boy film stock, right? We had to use this film stock that's quite tiny called Super 8. And if you're familiar with, like, documentaries about people in the 60s and 70s, Super 8 was this tiny little film stock that Kodak created in the mid-50s. It was for home movies. It was for little home movies, right? And the thing was, we learned on like day one of class that, oh yeah, yeah, you're gonna have to find yourself a Super 8 camera, and here's the deal. They do still make that film stock, but they don't still make those cameras. Now, our film teacher was always so happy. Nothing was a problem to him. Everything was so delightful because he had just escaped from the Soviet Union. So Mr. Kandinsky was like, guys, it's no problem. Just go to a pawn shop and look in the dumpster.
Well, fortunately, my father found a Super 8 camera at a yard sale and FedExed it to me. So I was like, oh, God, I got that part down. But then in the second day of film class, Kandinsky told us, oh, there's a couple more things you guys need to know. First, these are going to have to be in-camera edits. What that means is that not only was the cameras were kind of obsolete, but there were certainly no editing bays made anymore for Super 8. And so the editing of the films would have to be done by starting and stopping the camera. You know, so you'd have to shoot one shot and you would only have one take of that one shot. And you would have to make sure that where it ended would be continuous with where, when you pressed start again, the next shot would begin. So in other words, it was gonna be the kind of editing that you've known to love from the works of Thomas Edison. So that was stressful, right? And then he let us know, there's also the thing that, you know, you only have like 3 days to get your stuff processed by Kodak and then bring it into class. And NYU only owns one Super 8 projector. So unfortunately, you're all going to have to see your first projects with all the rest of us in class when you're getting your grade. So, oh my gosh, the pressure was really on. And all the kids were getting together and figuring out, like, I'll work with you. Oh my gosh, my parents have money. They'll get us this and that. Meanwhile, I didn't know anyone, and I lived way out in bumfuck Coney Island area. So I was like, oh God, okay, I'm going to have to do this all by myself. And here's the thing, an important thing to know about like ADHD is it's all about like exactly how many frustrating or annoying or boring details can you handle at the same time? And one person being the cast and crew and director of a movie is a lot of details. So I was like, okay, yeah. I'm just going to have to wait a day where Dave is at work, and I'll just schedule it so that I'm going to shoot this movie at home. It'll just be me making it. I'll be the star. I'll script it out. I scripted out this story where it was about a guy who looks at his medication bottle, and it says, oh, my gosh, if you don't take this medication every day at 3 p.m. sharp, your heart will explode. And then at the end of the movie, there's a twist. You find out, oh, what it really meant is that the bottle will explode. So really, really high concept comedy here. But I was still excited about it, and I like was running around town getting props, and I typed down on a typewriter the words that were going to be on this medication bottle. And the day got more and more intense because it was super hot. We didn't have air conditioning. I would take a shot and then realize, oh my gosh, that prop isn't working. I've got to run out and get something else, come back and be like, oh my gosh, wait, when did that shot end and how should the next shot begin? And kept going like that until finally I realized, holy shit, I need this shot of this medication bottle, and this particular Super 8 camera my dad bought me is exactly like the Charlie Chaplin cameras in that it has no depth of field. It can only shoot from one distance. It cannot take a close-up. So it can't read the medication bottle. This was going to have to be one fucking huge bottle of medication with the instructions written in Sharpie on a piece of paper taped around this bottle. In fact, the bottle would probably be about the size of like a gallon jar of jumbo pickles. So I was like, that's what I'm gonna do. I'll get the pickles. This will solve the whole problem. So I'm running against the clock now, just like the guy in the movie, because I figured if Dave comes home and he has a lady friend and I've got the place a mess and pickles everywhere, oh my gosh, it's a disaster. So I'm running and running, and I realize, holy shit, wait, how am I going to get rid of these pickles, right? Because this bottle has to explode all over the place somehow, but I've also got to get rid of the evidence because I can't be having these pickles, you know? Like, I wasn't supposed to touch a thing in the fridge. I was like, well, I could throw them in the trash, but then, oh my gosh, no, then it would be like the ghosts of pickles past were like smelling up in the trash over there. And I realized that David hadn't taught me how to get rid of the trash outside of our apartment, how to take it down the elevator and where to go otherwise. So I was like, oh my gosh, there's got to be some other way that I get rid of these goddamn pickles. And I was racing against the clock. He was going to be home any minute. And finally, I was having this meltdown moment when I had a eureka moment instead. I was like, I know what I'll do. I'll flush these pickles down the toilet. Because pickles are kind of shaped like poop. So I run to the bathroom and I start shoving these things down there. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 jumbo pickles. And you're probably thinking, did they go down easily? Not at all. No, I had to fist those fucking pickles down that toilet. And of course it's occurring to me, oh, well, they're not exactly the same consistency as poop, but, you know, I had to finish what I had started. And in fact, I did. I finished what I started. I got the shot. I got everything cleaned up. Dave came home with a lady friend and was none the wiser. And I'll tell you something. I got it to Kodak the next day and in time for it to be processed for me to take to school. It was funny because so many students had these films where, like, there might be 20 seconds of white or black, you know, like shots that didn't come out. Mine was perfect. Everyone was laughing. Kandinsky loved it. I became a member of the sketch comedy troupe, The State, because there were people in that class who were like, this guy's really funny. Let's invite him to do stuff with us. So I got so drunk that night to celebrate my victory. And I came home and all was not well at home. Dave was very sweaty and half-dressed and coming out of the bathroom. He was like, Kev, something really stopped up that toilet. Did you give birth to a haggis in there? Because we're a Scottish family. But no, I said, oh no, I have no idea what that could possibly be. Well, it was not easy. Dave kept trying everything, like hangers and plungers and everything, and nothing was working. The landlord did not want to get a plumber. We were using other people's bathrooms for a couple of days. It was kind of horrifying. And the whole time I was like, oh, this is all my fault. But Dave will be none the wiser. Until finally Dave was like, all right, I will pay for a plumber. So the plumber comes over, and we're both home at this time. And the plumber is this really happy, boisterous Italian guy. He's got this giant, like, Roto-Rooter snake thing that can go down to the center of the earth practically. He's like, oh, yeah, this thing could break through anything. And we're like, oh, my gosh. And, you know, the two straight guys had a fun talk about equipment for a while. Then he starts really plunging in there, and he's like, wow, yeah, there is something really, really tough down there. I feel like I'm breaking through a cow. And he's plunging and plunging until finally he says, oh, my God, look at this. This is interesting. And he bends down, and with his gloved hand, he pulls out of the toilet this little, like, chunk of something that's kind of looks like greenish vegetable matter. And he says, look at this. This kind of looks like it's a part of a pickle. And then he says, well, now look at that. And now dozens and dozens of chunks of pickle were floating to the surface of the toilet. He was like, yeah, that's definitely pickles. And my brother said, huh. because I noticed that a giant jumbo jar of pickles that I bought last week was missing today. And that's when I said, oh, yeah, this could be from when I flushed those pickles. My brother said, you flushed them. I said, yeah, yeah, now that you mention it, it does seem to be that. He's like, uh-huh, wow, yeah. And meanwhile, the plumber is like amazed. I couldn't explain what I had done, right? It was just one of those moments. And so my brother's frustration with me that night, just like his mind was blown. Who the hell flushes a bunch of pickles down the toilet? And then it just became family lore, you know? But after I was diagnosed several years ago, I began to learn that when people with ADHD have just a fuck ton of details that don't interest them or are kind of annoying or downright boring or whatever, and get overwhelmed by it all, sometimes critical consciousness just kind of slumps over in the driver's seat. And the subconscious grabs the wheel. And you know, the subconscious often has ideas that are rather special. So now I know how I can explain that story to my family. And I have to say, if you ever find yourself in that situation where you're thinking, oh shit, I don't know how to explain what I just did here, give a little toast in the weird part of your brain to me, not with a drink, but with a pickle.
I love pickles.
Me too.
They're one of my favorite foods.
Olives are more for me, but pickles are.
Fellow mystery lovers, to a brand new season of Only Murders in the Building on Disney Plus.
These people could be killers.
Settle in for a tale of mobsters and murder.
We assumed murder.
We'll be joined by killer special guests Meryl Streep.
Let's talk murder.
And Renee Zellweger.
Oh.
Please tell me you recorded that.
Only Murders in the Building. New season, now streaming exclusively on Disney Plus. 18 plus subscription required, T's and C's apply.
What does it feel like to get hit by a car while you're biking? Or to be attacked by an alligator? Or learn that your spouse hired someone to kill you? If those are the kind of stories you find interesting, then What Was That Like is the podcast for you. Now, if you're thinking, Cav, didn't you recently do a Risk Reacts episode where you listened to an episode of What Was That Like? Where the guy fell into that crevasse? Or crevice. Yes, What Was That Like is filled with real stories about the most surreal experiences of people's lives. On each episode, a guest comes on and tells about the time they found themselves in some sort of extreme situation. Could be an animal attack, a plane crash, winning the showcase on The Price is Right, and more. This show brings you tons of completely surreal and completely true stories, all told through the lens of the person who lived it. I remember the one about the guy who got buried alive, the one where the woman's parachute failed, and over the years we've become good friends with Scott Johnson, the creator and host of
what was that like? As, you know, we're so simpatico in what our podcasts do. So if you want to hear some unbelievable and inspiring firsthand stories, I invite you to check out What Was That Like? Every story's verified, so you know even the most bizarre tales are someone's reality. Listen to What Was That Like on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or on the app you're using right now.
If I get my kid a phone, I'll be able to keep in touch with him all the time.
He'll be on it all the time.
He could walk to school by himself.
She could see something she shouldn't.
He could chat with grandma.
Friends. Trolls.
They can access anything on the internet.
They can access anything on the internet.
So, should I give my kid a phone?
Growing up with phones isn't always easy. Introducing EE Safer Sims. Sims that help moderate usage and shield harmful content on any smartphone. Choose EE Safer Sims. Only on the UK's best network.
To verify best network, see ee.co.uk/claims.
We're back.
This is Risk. This is VBE behind me now. And we just heard from me. You can find me on Instagram at TheKevinAllison. Folks, there's never been a better time or a more helpful time to support us over on Patreon. You can do that by becoming a member or by increasing the amount of your donation over there. You can chat with other Risk fans there, listen to bonus stories and check-ins, get the ad-free feeds so you don't have to listen to ads in the episodes, access video recordings of the Risk Live online shows from the lockdown era, access to video recordings of tons of live Risk shows from 2021 to the present, and we're going to have more online events over there on Patreon soon. One of our Patreon members named Jeanette wrote to us recently. She said, "I am so inspired by everyone on this team. I have inhaled episode after episode, sometimes brought to my knees by the intensity and the vulnerability of the stories. It's a big hit to my current budget, but I need the connection. It's an investment in my mental health." Thank you so much, Jeanette. I get it. You know, getting that financial support as well as the moral support of messages like that make a big difference to our team. And I'll surely be having a big new personal check-in over there very soon too, because of all the everything. Okay, that's all at patreon.com/risk. And if you want to make a one-time donation, that's at paypal.me/riskshow. Next, we're going to hear stories from... That was the weirdest next I've ever said. Next, we're going to hear stories from Rachel Frost and Luke Euler. These are short stories that audience members shared at recent Risk Live shows. It's a fun new thing we've been doing because improvised stories can be so wonderful too. And we're always looking for new ways to get our audience involved in the sharing. So, we'll get to Luke in a bit, but now here's Rachel Frost with a story we call The Inside Scoop.
Oh boy, okay. That was actually the one I thought you were not going to choose. That's hilarious. Okay, so I... tend to have this thing where when I start dating somebody, I like really care about being the perfect girlfriend. So I like to like pretend that I don't grow hair on my labia and like, you know, I don't have like bodily functions and that kind of thing. So I just started dating this guy. His name was Craig. And he once told me that by dating him, I was rolling sixes. And if you don't know what that means, I'll tell you. It means that he was 6 feet tall. He made six figures and he was at least 6 inches. That was his compliment to himself, by the way. So we have been dating for like a month at this point, and he invites me to a birthday party that his friend is throwing at her apartment in Brooklyn. And we walk in and it's like gorgeous, right? It's exposed brick and like a fireplace that obviously doesn't work. It's fake. And there's like air plants on the walls. And I'm like, oh, fuck, right? And he hands me this like spicy margarita and we drink and we hang out with his friends. And then like a couple minutes in or like, you know, 20 minutes in, I'm like, okay, I'm going to go to the bathroom and I'll be right back. And he's like, oh, I'll come with you. And I'm like, okay. So I go to the bathroom and he waits outside and I'm like, fuck, it's like a number two situation, right? So I go to the bathroom and then I'm done and then I flush the toilet. Except it doesn't do that. And I'm like, oh my God, great. Now I have to like stand here while my boyfriend is waiting outside. And the longer I stand in here, the longer he's going to think that I've been doing the thing that I don't want him to think that I ever do. And so I wait a couple minutes and then I try to flush the toilet again and it doesn't work. And I'm like, oh my God, now I've been in here for like a solid like 4 or 5 minutes and I don't know, there's nothing else I can do. I just have to wait again, right? Because what other options do I have? And so as I'm sort of like problem solving this situation, I'm like poking around the bathroom and I'm like, there must be a magical toilet somewhere, like a second toilet, right? That I can just like replace this one with. And that's when I open under the sink, the cabinet under there, and there's a roll of paper towels. And I'm like, I know. I've told this story one other time in my solo show, by the way, and I really didn't want to have to tell it, but it does exemplify me as like the perfect girlfriend and all my insecurities. So what I do is I take out the paper towels and I roll them around my hands in like an Edward Scissorhands paper towel situation. And I scoop things out of the toilet. Yes, I do. And I bury them in the bottom of the trash can. And then I wash my hands like a lot. Like I couldn't actually have washed my hands enough to like get rid of all of the bacteria and the shame that I felt walking out of that bathroom that day. But that is what I did. And eventually he and I moved in together. So he does know that I function as a human being. And then we broke up because, you know, rolling sixes was actually inaccurate. He was not a very nice person in the end. But anyway, I have since decided that being a full-fledged human being is perfectly acceptable and lovable, and you all should too. But, you know, sometimes we have to look at our past to know more about ourselves in the future. Thank you.
Scoop.
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 Scoop a little bit in there.
Scoop out the seeds.
Scoop.
Scoop it under the buns.
Scoop.
And a scoop on their heads.
And a little scoop for various purposes.
Scoop it back in this bag.
And now we're going to scoop and bake these cookies.
One scoop of ice cream.
And a little scoop of salsa roja.
Scoop up DNA samples.
He fed them scoop after scoop after scoop.
For some people, they use a scoop or two of that before bed.
No one takes a selfish scoop with extra apple.
They scoop up the sauce on the outside.
I had thought that you could just scoop in, and you can't.
My name's Luke, and I had always wanted to shit my pants just once, just for shits and giggles. And I found my perfect opportunity on one of my spring breaks when we went to visit one of my best friends down at Coastal Carolina. They were still in school. At the time, I found myself wearing my least favorite pair of pants. And so I told my friends that I was gonna join them as they went to their cafeteria at Coastal Carolina University. And I was gonna shit my pants right before they were going on a golf outing. They were like, yeah, right, whatever. We got our food and I sat down and I scarfed the food down and I set my focus on doing the dirty deed. It was more difficult and uncomfortable than I had expected. The poop encompassed the space between my butt cheeks, and there was still more that needed to find a new home. As I began squirming, somebody from a neighboring table stood up and said, "What the fuck is that smell?" I slowly got up. I'm wearing shorts now. And I just tried to quench those butt cheeks as tight as I ever possibly could. And I slowly walked, but my friends knew what had happened and it stunk really bad. And so everybody's like hooting and hollering, like, what the fuck? I like inch my way out. I get outside and there's a gazebo over here. People are smoking, a smoking gazebo. And I didn't know what else to fucking do. I don't know. My friends started walking out and I just started shaking my ass. And all the shit started tumbling out. And everybody, Venus flytrap, mouths wide open. My friends just took off, and I just took off after them. I found a pool, and I cleaned myself up, and just acted like it never happened. And I got rid of those worst favorite pair of pants. Thank you very much.
Is Risk. This is John Worthy behind me now, and we just heard from Luke Euler. Before that, a story from Rachel Frost, who you can find online at rachel-frost.com. Folks, just a reminder, September 25th is the next Risk live show in New York City. Both of those stories you just heard were told by audience members at prior Risk Live shows. And for the one on September 25th, the theme is, "And Then It Got Weird." So get your tickets at risk-show.com/live. And if you want to share a 5-minute story about "And Then It Got Weird," your pitch just might get picked. Okay. Well, I just want to send my love to everyone out there. You know, I know we are really, 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 really going through it this year. And my online workshops have kept me sane. The podcast has kept me sane. The storytellers and staff have helped to keep me sane. And I hope the show is helping you too. You know, I think creating and connecting are super, super important parts of being the rising tide that we're up against. I've talked about that before, but, you know, I know we just had a fun poop themed episode here to kind of, you know, we have to have fun. We have to keep having joy and fun and ridiculousness at the same time as just trying to keep our heads above water and do what we can to be the tide that is turning against just so much terribleness. Also, just my own life of this realism of this giant change I'm making. Ooh, it's so good. It's so good to have all of you and to have this institution now of Risk. I don't know if I've even talked about this on the podcast yet, but we made it into the book called The Podcast Pantheon. 101 podcasts that were chosen as being like the most influential of all time. And it was such an honor. It's such a wonderful company to be in there and to be recognized as, even though we're not the hot new thing, a show that has really made a difference over the years. And I am dead set determined to just keep on with making a difference in whatever way we can. So I did not know I was going to go off on that. I didn't know I was going to improvise a little check-in here, but, you know, oof, goodness gracious. It's a lot. And you know, you've got us here. You've got this community and this a place where you can hear people being honest and true, and where you are welcome to come and be honest and true. We're doing more and more to build community as well through our online workshops and some of the online events we're going to be doing as well. All right. That was just off the cuff me talking to you. So meanwhile, folks, today's the day. Take a risk.